Oh, I just let me read it.
Right. I am calling the Junction City Library Board meeting on November 21st at 6:37 to order. Present are Board Chair Jennifer Dagas, Board Members Bethany Marks, Nancy Sabin, Wendy Thielander, Librarian Michelle Schneider, and City Administrator Jason Canope. First of all, are there any changes to the agenda?
I would like to add a discussion that we can do later about what was it, things. There is a situation that has started, well, has been occurring with the houseless patrons or homeless. Houseless, homeless,
Yeah, camping.
unhoused.
Unhoused. Thank you. Thank you. Residents who have found the library to be their new spot. Yeah.
Any other changes? Okay. Next topic, approval of October 17th meeting minutes. Are there any changes? No. All right.
Is the information on the agenda the correct for logging in remotely?
Well, Wendy logged in using it.
I gave her a different.
Yeah, she took a picture of the well was on the screen, your screen.
Oh, did it change? There was something new that Zoom just said last tonight, saying that the calendar didn't sync up or something. Do you want to?
Do you just need the code?
Yeah, move over here real quick.
We'll check on that. While we're doing that, I wanted to say one more change to the agenda to add just a brief chat about the Community Services Committee meeting, and just to go over who can come and
Okay, for December.
yeah, for December.
What day was that again?
December 6th is a Wednesday.
Thank you.
Okay, so meeting minutes are approved as written. All right. All right, so item number four, I don't know if we're waiting on someone to join. Discussion of library budget outlook with City Administrator Jason Canope.
Well, we'll give you a minute to pass some stuff out here real quick for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, the big pack.
Yeah, lots of different information.
I like it.
So go ahead and I'll start with the one that says financial trends, the colored with the colored charts. So I guess for me, where I kind of want to start is bigger picture for the library and how it fits in the overall scheme of how we budget every year, and kind of give you guys a kind of some of the more of that bigger picture background information, and then kind of dive a little more into the library itself. If I'm repeating things you've already heard, I apologize in advance, but just kind of wanted to start at one spot where I didn't say everybody's on the same page. The library is part of community services, obviously, and the way the city works with what's called property taxes and general revenues, two different income streams from the city. Property taxes is just what it says. It's the taxes the city collects every year. And for like this year, we're looking at about 3.5 million citywide. The city pre-splits that up amongst police, community services, court and plan are the four major categories it splits it amongst. The community services as a whole gets 22% of all property taxes and all general revenue, plus any revenue it generates. So like in the library, there might be like fees or fines that stays within the library. Parts has rental fees, for example, they keep their rental fees. Now with that, that 22% isn't a set split amongst parks, senior center, community center, library, pool. There isn't a preset. Each division gets a certain amount every year. It's kind of based on who has the most need in a year. Like in the case of this year, we put a little more into the library and took more away from the senior center as an example. So looking at the charts, the first green one, that just shows our property taxes over the years. What I kind of wanted to show is on the bottom line there shows percentage of change, kind of the growth in property taxes every year. Typically, we see about, as a base minimum, about 3%, but then you got to factor in growth. So some years you can get up to 8%. Typically, we usually see between 4 and 5 on average is what we kind of expect. So what that means, like in the case for community services, that 5% rolls right on through all the way through. So it, you get that annual increase in revenue every year. It's based on the assessed value, not market value of property. I can show that in the bottom table here, because the assessed value is way lower than the market value. Mm-hmm. And that's set by law at a 3% annual maximum increase. Typically, Maryland County, it's always been 3% every year, at least according to what my property tax bill says to every year. It goes up by that 3%. Then that kind of breaks it into the next page, which says page 38, bottom, just kind of shows all the revenue citywide for general fund functions. So what this doesn't include is like your water, sewer, and sanitation, and streets are not included in this particular graph, but it's everything else. Then with that, on page 39, showing how that allocation breaks down. So like in the case, you'll see police get the biggest share at the 72%, and then court and planning each get 4. And then the rest is the 22% that goes to community services. In this particular year, you can see the library got a little over 5%. Parks got almost 6. Community center got just a little over 5. And the pool got just a little over almost 4. And you see the senior center this year didn't get any. So we zeroed them out because they have a higher fund balance at the moment. So they don't need quite as much, so they can give us a little bit of time to figure out what we need to do in the big picture. But that's not a sustainable forever option. It gives us a few years. Mm-hmm. At any point in time, if someone's got questions, please feel free to shout. Don't mind kind of going through some things here. So that is property taxes. And then we get into general revenues. General revenue is like your franchise fees. There's a number of pass-through taxes that the state gives us, like the liquor tax, cigarette tax, transient room tax. That all comes up to a certain total the city gets every year. It's anticipated this year it's going to be about $663,000. The percentage breakdown is applied to that, with one exception. The council's determined half of the franchise fees, so like the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on that list, half of that goes to streets fund. The other half stays in the general fund. Once that is figured, then that is split amongst the revenue, the percentage allocations that they apply to property taxes. If you look on page 41, it shows what that does is it takes it from 600 plus thousand down to 428,000 that gets split. Mm-hmm. That kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then of that, again, community services gets the 20%. We go from there. So that's kind of just how the revenue in general works. What I've included now in here is the library section of the budget. that we do every year. I don't know if there's anything particular you wanted to point out in the narratives, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'm just there for reference so you know what's in there every year. It's a lot of really neat and fascinating information. So if there comes questions at a later point, feel free to ask. But the library basically functions with two funds, the main fund for the library and then the Library Capital Projects Fund.
Just says that we painted the library when we didn't.
That changed.
We tried to check these for errors. Everyone got something desolate.
I know it was
accomplishment, but
probably doesn't matter.
Yes,
pretend it's not there.
We're still working.
It was supposed to be there was two sections. There was before what was accomplished and what was forward thinking of what was going to happen in the future.
Oh.
I think we lost our second paragraph.
It's on page 144.
Oh, I think it was supposed to go on to objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
And at this point, it'll probably be on the 24, 25 objectives. So we'll just move it there in advance. We'll be good. So the intent of this narrative section of the budget is to really kind of give you the opportunity for the library to toot its own horn, so to speak, kind of get those things that, you know, that they want, you want to shine kind of a spotlight on that are good goals, good things that have been accomplished or something that we're, you know, trying to in that next year. As the budget officer, I don't get too involved with the details because I'll leave that to the departments because they know their division way better than that. Like I said, so we've got two funds. We've got the library, regular library fund and the capital fund. The intent is any of your bigger purchases, like painting of the library, for example, replacing the carpets, adding new furniture, that comes out of the capital fund, not out of your main operating fund. The intent is every year to transfer out of the main operating fund into the capital fund so you have the ability to do those projects. And what the intent and the goal with that is it helps keep from having spikes from year to year, depending on what projects you're trying to accomplish in your main operational. So it lets you be a little more even keeled in your planning, which then leads into the capital expenditure plan, which I'll talk about in a minute. So pages 149 and 150 are the main fund for the library. And you can see in there, we've got the first section, lines 1 through 14, is all the revenues coming in. And this is where some of those other things that, like when the library gets grants or if there's other things like that, it comes out of, or it doesn't come out, it stays in the library's bucket. It doesn't get lost in another department's bit. Lines 12 and 13, though, those are the library's portions of the general revenue and property taxes. Lines 17 through 24, that's basically personal services. So Michelle's and Sophia's time comes out of this section. As part of the budgeting process every year, finance will put those numbers out for everybody because they're kind of the keepers of all of that information and what we've got going on. I will say in this upcoming year, I'm envisioning that this is probably going to take a fair hit one way or the other because we've got it's a contract year for the union. So that always changes everything citywide. And yeah, so we're anticipating some fairly significant increase in benefits, both the medical, dental, and retirement, the PERS. We just know that's for us every 2 years, PERS takes a big kind of a stair step jump because they set the rates for 2 years at a time. So we know that's coming up.
So is that guesstimated in this?
This is this year's budget. So this, you know, I'm just kind of using this as a
proposed.
Yeah. You say this says it shows 23, 24.
Okay.
So that's what we're operating under today.
So you're thinking it'll go up even
for next year. Yeah. Okay. So my thought right now, just kind of giving you guys this, the next step will be coming back with some proposed for the upcoming fiscal year, but I kind of wanted to walk everybody through the big picture first. Materials and services, kind of the rest of that, that's where Michelle gets to weigh in a lot of what we see there. What I look at is that bottom line on line 56, what the total is, trying to make sure we don't get too carried away on that. I know each year we got to have some growth, but not, I'm going to trust what Michelle tells me she needs on the lines in between. I'm not going to go through line by line, and unless she wants like a huge increase on something, I typically
don't love a huge increase.
Yeah,
well,
it depends. We have different definitions of the word huge.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with her definition. Mine's a public works background, so it's a lot bigger usually. But I just kind of look at that end number, saying, okay, are we staying consistent with where we're at? Then you see line 59. That's talking about the transfers to capital projects. That's where every year we transfer out. We'll talk a little more of that. I'll circle back around on that. Contingency, line 62. So that's typically in the materials and services side of things. If there's an overage or need a little extra for something, that's the line where we take out of during the year. So we usually try to keep as much as we're comfortable with in there. At the end of the day, our intent is to keep our unappropriated ending fund balance, line 65, as close to line one. We want to try to, at the end of the year, trying to keep that unappropriated ending fund balance, how much money we have left in the library, at least the same, if not just a squeak more than what we started the year with. That's the goal. The city does have some financial fiscal policies that state how much the library has to have as a minimum. We're well above that. So for the library, I'd have to go back and calculate it, but it's in the 30,000 range, 40,000 range, if I remember correctly. It's a percentage of personal services and materials and services. So we're good there. So I'm not worried about that. A few years ago, that was a problem for the library. It was actually upside down. It's negative. So we've done a great job getting that back around to where we need to be.
So can I ask, the transfers that are going in, is that, because you always talk about the library's bucket of money that's not kind of like usable unless it's, you know, for a capital object, you know, like furniture or painting or something like that. Is that come under the unappropriated fund balance? That's kind of like the untouchable kind of, no.
So that fund is a separate fund. It's on the next page and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
The intent of the unappropriated ending fund balance is during the year, we've got to be able to make it from July to when we start bringing in property taxes. So this lets us make sure we have enough cash in the bank to be able to make payroll, pay bills until the property taxes start coming in. That's the intent behind having that unappropriated fund balance. So we don't run out of money. Before the taxes get in. People usually don't like when you say, sorry, we can't pay you. Yeah. Bill collectors don't like that. They turn the power off. That's the purpose of that balance. And that's why that number it is there is for that purpose. So we don't. And it's across all departments within the city. All the way across the board, everybody has their, and it's tweaked depending on, like the library is 5%, but yet if you go to like the water fund, it's 25%. So it's not just a flat across the board. It's tailored depending on the operational needs of that department. So, so it's not a one size fits all, because trying to say 25% for the library makes no sense because it doesn't have the level of expenses that the water fund does, for example. Or like the police, who have a large payroll, they're on that higher number because of that. So, questions so far on the main fund? So, page 151 is the capital projects fund. And we try to keep this pretty simple. We have CEP projects, which I'll talk about. I've got some sheets on that. And then there's, I know Michelle has another list of stuff she's been working through. And we're just labeling that building projects for the most part. So that way she has the ability to get some of those things done on her list there. These funds, you'll see the balances go up and down depending on what you're doing. It's not uncommon to save for a while, then spend a whole bunch, and then start all over again and save again. Any questions on that fund? So we can't do like payroll, recurring expenses out of this. This is intended one-time monies. Mm-hmm. Repaint the building, replace the roof, whatever the case may be. So in the next packet, I started with a worksheet. It says Library Capital Expenditure Plan, CEP worksheet. Every department is required to go through and create capital expenditure plan. The intent and purpose behind these plans is to go through and say, what do we need to continue to provide a service? So like in the case of the library right now, it's mostly building related. Because all IT citywide is no longer individual department's responsibility, it's all part of administration, which is where the internal services division, which is the computer folks, are located. So that way we have a unified approach. However, like in the case of the library, there's still some things left. Library, we've got 6 items. Public Works has over 2,000. So it just kind of varies depending on the needs. I think at some point it would be good for this group to look at the capital expenditure plan and maybe kind of look a little deeper, because I know what's in here is pretty basic and probably doesn't cover everything. However, now that said, what I wanted to show here is if you look, the box that says reserve fund totals, what I'm showing in there is kind of a running balance of that library's capital project fund. In the fund balance, showing the transferring in of 2,500 every year, and then the expenses coming out, and you can see pretty quick it goes negative and stays negative. So at some point we're going to have to address that, and to get more into that capital reserve for the library to at least cover these 6 items. Now for these items, the sheets attached are the detailed sheets, the top body project, and when they're kind of due. The last 4 pages of this packet, it's not part of the library CEP, but I'm showing the computer side of things and where library stuff is at in there, so you guys know that it's in there, including the public access computers are in that one. So we try to keep that covered. I know Jacob's doing some updates, but basically everything computer related wise for the library is in here. At least at this point in time, this iteration when this was done. Now, I'm sure at some point we're going to add things and subtract things, and there's a whole process to that that I'll work with Michelle on if you guys get to that point where you guys want to make some changes. But this just kind of shows that it's there. This is kind of what it is, and it's really basic. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just there's just not a lot of items here because I had a little bit of trouble with previous style, not Frida, but before Frida, I'm getting information on, hey, what is it you need? What are the things you're facing? I didn't get a lot of great information. So this is all I was able to come up with at the time. And it's been a number of years, so it probably wouldn't hurt to go back and look at that again and seeing, if things need to be expanded. And the reason why I keep bringing that up is it's already got problems. So I'd rather have everything you want in there and then try to fix all the problems versus fixing this and then breaking it again and trying to fix it again. And lazy that way. So I'd rather fix it once and just move on. And then the last packet I just included, just so you can see kind of a sense of what the other departments have in community services. So, it's not something that just impacts the library. Like that, just for a reference.
So, I haven't had a chance to chat with you about it yet, but I did film it. when we've had our rains, our gutter system is inadequate and has been like just pouring down rain, and especially on that corner, it just pools. Mm-hmm. Would that be something that would come out of a CEP project, or would that be a building project?
Well, I think the answer is going to be it depends, because with that, the first thing I would wonder is the drain clog. If it's drains clogged, that's a maintenance issue. It's not a CEP issue. If we need to upgrade it and come up with a different type of system, then that may be a CEP-based project.
Okay.
Because we found on some of these other ones that it's not being able to get out fast enough. So overflowing, looks like the gutters are overflowing because, you know, too much water. Well, it really isn't. It's just the drain doesn't work.
Yeah.
Especially on some of these up here. I
almost think some of it too is the connection down below is not consistently, like there's opening and it just sprays out.
which reinforces that it's probably clogged.
Oh no, there's a gap.
Is gutter maintenance not on a regular schedule for the library, like cleaning the gutters and making sure the downspouts are attached and clear? Is that not a regular maintenance thing?
The city doesn't have a regular maintenance division for this type of citywide. So
we used to chat.
But that was more mechanic, not your building maintenance is a major weak area for the city citywide. That we're still trying to wrap our arms around how do we address that with the limited resources that we have. Because the senior center is a great one because it's a flat roof. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's all kinds of issues through the year. You know, it's something, long and short answer is no, it's not. But it's something we're working on.
So this is listed out by year on the CEP. Is that initiated by the city, or do I need to like keep on top of that and say, hey, we've hit our so many years? Do we?
Yeah, you'll see those. They'll come up in the budget itself, the budget document itself. There's flag projects for the year. So, no, it's not something you need to track long and short.
Yay, this year roof replacement.
No, if you put your own project in there and you know, that comes up, I would kind of expect you to keep an eye on your own project, but the boring stuff, absolutely not.
Okay.
So what happens when you bump a project and say, we're not going to do this year? Do you get to do two projects next year?
Yeah, the trick with that is making sure you're catching the funding and moving the funding over.
Okay.
We've run into that problem in parks a couple of times where it didn't get communicated back up that, hey, we're moving this project to next year. And I was like, oh, crap, well, that's nice, but now you don't have the money to do it. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, it just moves over. So, yeah, you go from doing one to the next year, now you're doing two.
Okay.
Some parks ones have varied quite a bit where they're almost back to their next cycle. Mm-hmm. They've been varied so often. And a lot of it's funding related.
Like, yeah, the carpet looks great. Fine. And we have like so many tiles still left in the basement. And I'm like, so that money would just get pushed again to another year.
Yeah, that would go in. So like in the case of that one, they would say, okay, we're going to pass on it. So they go now and set in 2034, the 10 years out. Because that's the cycle. It's not the
particular. Oh, so you don't even have to push it. You can just pass.
Yeah, you can shoot the pass.
Okay.
So the furniture replacement that I've kind of done earlier, even though they're slated in 2025-26, is that just an evaluation of current like furniture that hasn't been replaced, or
so this is the extent of the information I got. This project is to replace the furniture used in public spaces, period.
Oh, well, that's...
That is the sum total of... which is why I included the sheet, so you can get kind of a sense of what I was given. And I guess for me, what I would look at that is saying, every 10 years, you have some money set aside to look at, does something need to be replaced or expanded or whatever the case may be? And then, you know, use it if it's there, and then if not, it just sits in the fund balance and you look at again another 10. But that's part of the thing you can look at is saying, okay, as a group saying, okay, we want to see, and I'm just going to make up a number, 2,000 a year set aside to look at to see if we need to do furniture replacement every year instead of looking at it once every 10. That kind of thing.
Okay.
There's some things we do in the IT side that is that. You can also look at saying, okay, we want to slowly save up money over the next 10 years to do a mural on the south end of the building. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you can say, okay, as part of the CEP, we want to save $1,000 a year. So we know it's going to cost $10,000 and we want to do it.
So when it comes to like the computers, because I'm assuming it's not something that falls under software upgrades. Where does that fall?
So the computer, that's the last four pages. That's all out of the administrative capital expenditure plan.
Oh.
And what we've got right now is every, where are we, five right now on the computers? Five or six. So every 7 years for the public, these characters over here to be replaced. And you guys, we just did them, and that's part of the updates Jake is doing, so the years will slide on this particular sheet to reflect from when they were last done. But yeah, they are on there with the frequency, along with all of the staff stuff, plus the stuff for the public Wi-Fi, even though it hasn't been done. It's a project that we're going to do it the first time it's supposed to be replaced, if that makes sense. And then just have it on the schedule, put it into the other stuff for the wireless. So unless there's other questions, my thought is I'll come back at your next meeting and I'll have some blank worksheets to kind of show like what we do internally to start that budget process, budget discussion, and we can start collecting ideas, which guys, you know, are wanting to, would like to see. And that gives me something to then be able to kind of take back, work into the budget process, bring that information back to you all, because we need to have something to the Community Services Committee by March, if I'm correct, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's March. I'll have to double check, but I'd like to have it ready by February. We could. At least that first draft, so we can get that into, because the committees look at things twice before it goes to the actual budget committee. So that's kind of what we do then. Questions? Then nothing. I'll go get out of your guys' hair and let you do your thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like 5 days in a row. Every night.
Yeah. And I'm not like super early, like 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Is it cold or something? No, this guy lives out
like
here now.
Bike and a cart, and it like literally just like blocks off. If he was like in one corner, I could get in, but I couldn't even get.
He started like
box.
Putting up like a tarp or a blanket.
Yeah. It's a
full
setup.
Is there nothing in there to do?
Usually.
So, yeah. Public space.
The video image on my end just went to all pink and purple pixels.
It did. Yeah, it looks like that over here too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Glitched out.
Yeah.
There you are.
Okay. All right, just a minute, Wendy.
We have to provide space to do, or we have to provide space.
We'll get to that topic in a minute.
Yes.
Would you like to do item number five first?
Oh, okay.
Programming.
Do some fun stuff.
Well, we can start off first with a library field trip. Sorry, you can't join us. I can't reach the it's a laptop, but you're all plugged into the electrical outlet.
I will send you a picture, Wendy.
There you go.
Okay.
So we are going to go. Well, as you can see, we are festive for the season.
I love it.
So,
it's
so
crazy.
Oh, you can see that part,
we
Wendy.
We decked out for the...
Yes.
The
beautiful.
Hold all my stuff up.
Bling, bling.
So here is our new kids area furniture. Well, for right now, we're going to be alternating them. So that's why I just play with it. That's why. So if you can see underneath, there is green, meaning Lego table. What is going to be, it's funny because I've had adults sitting there doing a puppet show for their kids, and then I've had kids do the puppet show for their parents. So it's great if you had both. So maybe I'll bring back so that Wendy doesn't think we're abandoning her. But if you want, you can check out. It's really nice seating. It's definitely have a sit, lay back. It's nice and firm, but comfy at the same time
and wipeable.
Yes.
So, Wendy disappeared. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
So everybody was checking out our and I guess your Pexeter. That is our new soft seating and Lego table for the kids area. We are sitting at the three tabletops now on this side. So we've had to be a little bit creative on spacing, but we've figured out how to piece it together for this side and have enough room for people to walk around. So that's great. The intent over there is to kind of alternate what is on the table right now, because so the puppet show was actually bought by Frida right before COVID, and then she could use it for all of COVID, and we never really had a great space to kind of have it short enough, because this table's too wide, so kids presenting would have been hard. I am shopping for a wooden train set, which will be over there as well. My idea is to kind of change it up every couple of days so kids get a variety of activities over there. Then the Lego, so that's part of discussion of programming. So, but right now that is, I feel the kids area is pretty well furnitured up for the moment. Mm-hmm. And we will kind of move forward over to here. There's only so much that I can kind of change out over here. One of them might be the spinner for the paperbacks that could be used to be an update for adults over here. Yes, I kind of feel like I finally finished, at least. one of my ideas is I want to replace the middle. It's kind of like collected pieces of odds and ends, and that they've kind of like countertops, they've kind of put on and made it kind of fit together, but not everything is actually, it's scrappy pieces. For the setup in the middle, it looks like it goes together, but behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. but something like that is a couple thousand dollars. I don't know if, that might be something that we look at, that furniture budget. What is our
10,000 in 2 years?
Yeah, well, maybe we could push up the carpet replacement and back down the furniture replacement. So we'll see what we can do on that one. but that would be, I think, the next worthwhile investment is to kind of, there's just differences in front desks that we can even get an area that is lower so that people who are in wheelchairs can roll right up. Mm-hmm. And make it more accessible. We can even, if we have a desk that up, goes up and down, besides our monitor desktop that goes up and down, It's a little bit easier for staff, maybe some of the seniors or volunteers to sit at. That's a little bit more easier than standing all day. Kind of, well, nobody stands all day, but none of the volunteers, at least.
Well, yes.
I get different. Where's the restroom?
Oh, it's at the very end.
Very end.
Yes.
I thought it was in the back.
The only other door accessible by the public. Yes. you know, that there's also the possibility of the DVD cabinet. However, right now that's kind of in flux because of the large donation that we got for that. In the idea that we were, you know, that I kind of want to flip the collection, the old stuff out, get the new stuff in, and then kind of gauge how much room we'll need. But that takes a lot of people and a lot of time. So it's not going to be an overnight project. So that is the furniture update, the fall and winter programming. I can wait for Nancy to come back, but I can recap when she comes back. How about that? So a couple things. In looking at what we provide for programming. So one of the things we're looking at, well, we will be eliminating is our partnership with Max Porter's. It's nothing that they did. It's just it's become kind of unsustainable for us. When we first did it, this is about a year and a half now that we've been doing it. We had a dedicated storyteller who was Lori from the Monroe Library. And it going over to Max Porter's takes three people on those staff days because we have to have one person at the desk to run the library where two people are offsite, because one is the story time reader and the other person is there. Sometimes, a lot of times they don't set up for us and we have to set up the chairs. We have to move the crowd of people who are in there. We have to guide people down into the room. We have to invite people who are already there saying, hey, it's story time. So it's not just a, we had another story time reader to make it three people, but she was unable to be consistent with her volunteering time and eventually had to step away from it. So primarily it's been Sophia and myself. And so on those, you know, a few days, like even like next month, which will be our last one, Sophia's out, which, you know, if Shelley comes over and she runs the front, that means it's just me over there during a very holiday, fast-paced, you know, season. But beyond that, the acoustics are horrible. Yeah. It is just really hard on our voices to accentuate, you know, the, you know.
I think it was a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's run its course. And so that will be...
So all the story times will be here.
All the story times will be here. Sorry, that was very long.
I think it's okay to not do a program forever.
Yeah.
We gotta rotate. Gotta try new things.
I like it here for my kids because I forget what Friday it is. I show up at the wrong place. So
that's fine.
Makes it easy.
Well, and I think it's gonna be better now too, seating wise, because we ran last week's over there. And we were able to centralize because the table was always kind of in the way and took up room. Now we can centralize it over off to the side. People who needed to get to the restroom or other people who didn't want to do story time could still, now they can go to the side. We don't have to move the reed spinner. So it's a lot easier for us to maneuver in that area now. So we're happy about that. The story time will always be here at the library on the Fridays. I am with the Lego table over there looking at Lego Club starting in January. So what I kind of envisioned was, so that Lego table has six plates to it, which means that we can have five or six kids kind of over in that area. The age for that grouping over there would be between 4 and 8. And that way it's a little bit more
control.
It goes everywhere. And then over at these tables over here, we could then run a consecutive Lego club for ages 9 to 15. And that way I'm hitting the tween and teen grouping. So I'm trying to hit a lot more age groups in giving, you know, access to activities. The time, I was very surprised at the time that kids get out of school. When I went to school, grade school till 3:30. So I'm very, you know, surprised that it's like Laurel to get out at 2:45, 2:55. And then on Wednesday, it's short day at 2:15. And I'm like, wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but I figure for the most part, kids will be out by 4 to 5 time slot would be good, because then they can go home, they can eat a snack, then they could come to the library and active that way. And
Michelle, do you currently have enough Legos to sustain both simultaneously?
So like the youngers on the shopping list, and now that we've hit Good Friday sales, so what I'm intending to do is buy a couple of the groupings of 1,000 plus Legos, and then seeing how it goes, and then sending a request out to the community if anybody has any extra Legos, if they'd like to donate them to the library. But I have programming money on the line item that says Lego, it says library programming. I'm intending to pull the funding from that to support the Lego club, so to say. I've learned a lot about Lego as I sit there and I look at tons of pages. And what fascinates me is that there's not just entire sets that you can buy are like wheels and doors and windows and it, you know, you can buy tons. You can buy tons of bricks, but you can't buy.
I used to have those sets. I don't know what happened.
There's also a lot of websites out there. There's the Lego Librarian, and so a lot of people out there kind of give you ideas on how to run Lego Club, which is great because this is my first time doing Lego Club. What I figure we'll do, we'll start off with every other week. So we'll do two weeks in a month. The first one will be creative play. Kids can come in and just make whatever they like. It's, you know, it's woohoo. And then the second one would be Lego Challenge, where it's based upon a theme. And then maybe everybody can, you know, vote and say, oh, these are the top three, and maybe I'll get them some library swag or something. I've already heard good things from a lot of the kids. Honestly, all it takes is just, because what we do for Craft a Story, I think the most we've had is for Craft a Story, it was kind of crazy. It was about 22. But, you know, if, you know, we want to kind of contain it in the middle, but worst comes to worst, I can even drag one of the side tables over. Depending on how overexcited people are. But, you know, I've had two families of four already say that they wanted to bring their kid.
And to support that, does the library have books, you know, like different things you can make with Legos in the nonfiction section?
We have probably about 5 books now, and I will be ordering more with the Lego sets. Because yeah, they'll not only want them, and what I may have to do is order double sets of the books so that we have them for the library and then as reference for us during Lego Club, and then the other ones kids can check out. And so yeah, it doesn't take much it just only takes a few families to fill us up. So we'll look at it two ways of, you know, are we getting such an interest that, I hate to say it, but people in Junction are very reluctant to do registration. we'll run it first as first come, first serve. As we move from that, if it you know, is, you know, we're still getting tons of kids, we'll do it registration based. Or we may look to, depending on my volunteers, run it each Tuesday or each Wednesday so that we can, you know, get more kids through and then, you know, ask parents to kind of like, oh, just choose, you know, a couple weeks. Don't, you know, make room for everybody type thing. We'll know once we start. So that's good. I have two volunteers. I'm amazed on, so I have a volunteer and there's another one who said that they've never played with Legos in their life. And I'm like, you never play with Legos? It just amazes me. I'm just like, I don't know. how want the thing? 40s, 50s.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. One has worked with children her whole life and one has children. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's quite all right. But one without children has an interest in it and has been a teacher. So I think, and that's the other thing. I was like, you're a teacher, you don't play with Legos? No, I'm just teasing. Mm. She's great. We love her. So it'll give her a chance to play with Legos. And then another patron who has a teaching background as well, but has kids, who wants to attend a Lego club. Mm-hmm. I've kind of like asked, you know, if your kids are coming, would you like to help volunteer? So hopefully
yeah, we might as well. You have to drag them anyway.
Exactly. So hopefully we might end up with two teachers hosting Lego club, which would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I am also looking at bringing back book club for 18 plus. So our adult group. And I do have a volunteer who wants to co-host with me. And then that would be either a Friday or Saturday after we close once a month. So that is the biggest in, that's a lot because we'll have Lego club, story time, craft a story, book club. And then our speakers, which mm-hmm. we have so for this month you have the flyer for it at the bottom. Billy, I forgot what her last name is, but she is
Neely.
Thank you, from the state. And she's going to come out and talk about scams and fraud and help people who have had that in their past, who are dealing with it now, and how to avoid it in the future. Mm-hmm. And we chose now because it's very timely with people donating money and getting emails of scam things on their, you know, mm-hmm. email and all that. So we're very excited to have her. And we've already had interest, and so people will hopefully remember their interest and come, so that's great. We were going to have somebody, we're still working through some of this. We were going to do canning and preservation presentation by Lane County Extension Services. They have a master preserver program. Mm-hmm. Because we felt, well, a lot of people give food as gifts, and you know that they've done canning and whatnot from the summer. Of course, we're flip-flop from the exact time when they do all the canning, but one of our volunteers is actually in the program to become a master preserver. So this actually started a little bit of that conversation. to this will be more of gifting and you know, there's the thing with the canning preservation, there's a huge chance of botulism. So it's also a health kind of presentation of, even though someone's giving you a wonderful gift, make sure that you know, you're refrigerating this, or you're not, like, you know, if you see these signs, don't eat it. We're still working out on the date on that. Hopefully we'll have that one soon. Social Security, we had hoped to slate for January. The person that we've been in contact with, she actually works out of the Colorado location because it's a federal program. She's regional, and she spends as much time in Colorado as she does in Eugene. And there is another person who is in her team, and he's in Portland. But the funny thing is, it almost takes as much time for her to fly here and be in Eugene as it does for him to drive down from Portland. So they're going to see whose scheduling opens up. They're also, it's a little bit complicated with all the continuing resolutions that the government has had, the federal government. And so their funding is based upon every time one of their staff steps out the door of their workplace, it's listed as travel. And so they have to get it approved. They have to get it funded, whether it's gas or flight. So they're hopefully, you know, I'd rather have it in January. It's a little more timely for, like, you know, beginning of the year, look at your Social Security, rather than trying to squish it in December. So we're still in talks on scheduling for that. And that's about where we're at on that. Actually, there's a possibility. Sophia, our part-timer, is going to do a project demonstration with people who want to attend about bookbinding for Valentine's Day, kind of, you know, create something. But beyond that, we have not zoned in to, So it's great to try and do events, but a lot of times scheduling gets weird. So there's so many things that come in. Beyond that is our summer reading program. So the summer, like I've mentioned before, the community center, they will actually be under construction earlier than expected. They have to use their grant by July 1st. But that still impacts, obviously, our programming. So we have a meeting scheduled with the superintendent of schools for JC. Not scheduled yet, but scheduled sometime in December to talk about allowing the library at least to maybe use the gym at Laurel. So it depends on their scheduling over there. Because we've always been hedged in by Scandinavian Festival. Oh, that's the prayer. And depending on what their scheduling is, we have more of a flexibility that, you know, if, you know, they need us to move more into August and less into, I don't know, June because of summer school or something like that, we now have flexibility where we can do that because we're not going to have to, like, worry about the streets being closed down for Scandifest. Mm-hmm. But there, like I said before, there's always the potential for a lot more kids to attend and reach target markets that we haven't had a chance to. A lot of the Hispanic families that are in the apartments over there that they don't necessarily know the libraries here, or, you know, people who don't want to have their kids come across the street. So potential for a lot more. So there's that. And then once we kind of get that drilled down, then we can start looking at programming that we will have for next summer. So that is fall programming. Does anybody have questions or
no?
Cool. Okay.
So other business you wanted to address with camping
of
the library?
Before we jump into that, let's just quickly chat about the CSC meeting.
The community services?
Yeah.
Okay. On December 6th?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
So who is interested in coming to that?
I cannot do Wednesdays.
Okay.
I can't either. I work Wednesday evenings.
I originally was, but I seem to be having evening sickness instead of morning sickness. So I don't know how dependable I can be.
Okay. Laura said she could still make it, but I really think that we need at least two people from the board, because just having me and Laura.
And where is the meeting held?
Generally, they're at the city council.
Just across the street.
Yeah.
I wish I would have brought my thing. I know I have an appointment the 5th in Eugene. But the 6th.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know that we want to pony it. And it, you know, there's nothing I can do to change their mind. Maybe have it on a Tuesday.
I am available. I just don't know how.
So you're okay. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll be feeling.
Take your little
my little bag with me.
All right. Well, let us know, Nancy, if you're able to come.
Okay, I will check on it. And
we'll put you on the spot and have you talk for us. Uh-oh. Maybe we shouldn't go into that while we're on board meeting. Okay. So anyways, you have a copy of the present mission statement, and then I'll email you these because I printed them out after you were supposed to be here. So I'll email these to you and Laura, because I don't think they were in the original email. I cleaned it up a little bit today. I made it all pretty. So yes, our present mission statement. I think it's worthwhile to show them where we're coming from and where we're going.
What time is the meeting?
I believe they're also at 6:30. And ours just looks so much better. I do say so myself. So beyond that, there'd also be an interest of, you know, by now it's like end of year library summary is kind of what I kind of put out to for their agenda. So I will try and, you know, come up with.
If you could present that and Laura presents this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's
more than enough. Well, I think, and then during the meeting, asking them how they want us to present future policies. Okay. And if, you know, they want us to, the Spanish and all that. So, cool. So there's that. Okay. And then the last piece, which I am going to pass out to you. So, is the this is the city council meeting from April of this year. So let me talk to it. What we'll be touching on that is actually on page 2, but I wanted to kind of, there's not a lot that the city has in their meetings that I was able to find. This was the closest that I found for now. So what's been happening is the last couple months, our entryway has been kind of beset upon by people who are the unhoused. And it started in dribs and drabs, and now it's nightly and in great numbers. I don't know. Suddenly we're on somebody's global radar. But the problem, okay, so it's happened earlier in the year than expected, as well as more frequently than we saw during all of COVID. And I think the reason why we didn't see it as much in COVID is this year, the state, even though they put it out in 2021, cities had to come up with plans of what to do with their house by June 1st of this year.
Kiddo.
Okay. Wendy, do you want to put yourself on mute for a minute?
Because you can do it right here.
Okay. Where? Yeah, because otherwise it picks up. All right.
Do you think better lighting would help at all?
Oh, we have tons of lighting. That's not the problem.
Is it bright enough to
light? No, they like the lighting because they feel safety in that. You have, either way, there's either more safety because there's more lighting, or if you do less lighting, then they feel free to be there in the dark and no one will see them, which is creepy because if somebody comes up to put a book away, then all of a sudden there's a person there.
The whole area.
Yeah. So what's happening is they take over the entire area. We've had anywhere from 1 to 4 people in that area. They do block the door. They block the book return. I daily now get complaints of people who cannot return books, people who formerly used to sit on the bench and play Pokemon, or they would use the Wi-Fi for their email, and they were, you know, people who live in the neighborhood who don't have the internet, no longer have access because they don't feel safe coming close to the door. Just put them to sleep. Plus then you get disturbance noise.
Right.
Complaints. Yeah. Jennifer, you're like,
I just don't know where they're supposed to go. Like, where do we want them to go?
Well, I mean, there's bigger concerns because, you know, it's safety at night for me to leave. You know, there's even our cleaning service who comes on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bucket and they, you know, they can't get in through the door. There's people who come who have dogs. Two of the dogs are nice. One of the dogs is not so nice. People are afraid to let their children come up. You know, it's becoming a detriment.
There's no room to keep them away.
So
we could move them if we have designated spot. The Junction City doesn't.
Yeah. So I have spoken with both Chief Waddell as well as City Administrator Jason Canope regarding the situation. So at first there was a confusion, I think, on the police side. They did quote the right to rest, and actually right to rest did not pass. It actually failed in Congress, or in state Congress. But House Bill 3501, that was House Bill 3501.
2115.
Yeah. And so that one was the one that was enacted in the 2021 session or something. I don't know. I'm getting confused. Okay, under House Bill 2115 passed in 2021, Oregon cities and counties cannot enact outright camping bans. The law followed a 2018 Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rule in which the court found cities couldn't punish homeless people for lying or sleeping on public property if they had no other place to rest. So with Junction City,
somebody forgot an L in public.
That's not good. So unfortunately with Junction City, there is no alternate space that has been given. So there's nowhere for us to redirect people to.
Hands are just tied.
Yeah. Yeah. So where we do have standing is during open hours of, you know, saying you are blocking access. Mm-hmm. There's also problems that we've had for people who are smoking and leaving cigarette butts. There are littering, there's trash, there's broken glass. Mm-hmm. Every day, either myself or Sophia are having to go out and like sweep and pick up, and there's belongings that are being left on benches, and we're having to package them up and like put them off to the side. There's a danger, inherent danger for us on that. You know, we don't know if there's drug paraphernalia in there, mm-hmm. That we could grab onto. There's just, for the most part, many of the unhoused are generally friendly, mm-hmm. and you know, will accommodate. You know, us saying that they need to pack up and move. Although just this morning we had an aggressive person who is yelling and shouting things off of our railing. And when I asked him to stop, he just said, "That's not yelling." And he's like, "I'm gonna," you know, and he yelled even louder, and then he kind of strolled off. So the concern I, you know, obviously have with that is that it starts bringing in more people who have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And then we start becoming a focus of that. And, you know.
No, I think they've just outgrown the laundromat. That's what happened.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of camping over there and the backside of the Chevron station. And,
do you think if it gets really cold, that will help at all?
Because
bring them in.
It brings them in, because the warmer that it is, and this winter, NOAA, you know, the atmosphere did say that we were supposed to have drier, warmer weather through winter. So if it's more on that mm-hmm. facet, then they tend to have other places.
That's the only solution.
So
I see. I don't know.
I gave everybody a copy of the city council meeting, because on page 2, you can start seeing what the city tried to do that they were trying mm-hmm. to hit that June 1st deadline of how are we, you know, how is Junction City going to work with this? Basically, you know, they can't prohibit camping on all public spaces in the city. The city is obligated to cease imposing sanctions for camping, sleeping on public property, the basic tenets of, you know, if we don't provide shelter elsewhere, there's not much they can do. The Public Safety Committee looked at, can we start allowing space, RV parking over in Lyle Day Park, which is the one across from Bi-Mart. And as you kind of look through this, the problems that came up with that is liability of having the space over there. You have to provide, you know, to ensure that residents were not exposed to a known or obvious danger that they would not face elsewhere. Sometimes providing spaces like that, you increase theft or violence because of the people who tend to cluster or prey upon those sites as well. Insurance coverage, that the city would have to insure that area. Availability, police department, small as it is, would then have to start to monitor the spaces. They would have to have sanitation and, you know, maybe bathrooms and security to monitor it. And then you get people who are like, well, I don't want it in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a bigger city issue. Mm-hmm. And I just looked online tonight to see if Lane County had anything this far north. Because, you know, Junction City's here, and then, you know, the state hospital's there, but, you know, and then there's the railroad owns mm-hmm. land, and then there's farmers, but like the
the archery and lake are owned by the county. And so I love how Lane County says that this is what we offer Lane County, but it's actually Eugene. It's Eugene and maybe a little bit of Springfield. Mm-hmm. Lane County, it didn't even show anything for kind of like, there's some like in Veneta or something like that for mm-hmm. regular shelters, but in the outlying rural areas, there's nothing that I saw that is covered by Lane County. So there's no way for us to redirect them and say, hey, you're on city. Maybe there's somewhere on state or county land that you could move to instead. So even Lane County hasn't quite, you know, addressed that issue as well.
I'm just going to point out it's almost 8:00.
Oh, okay. So just so wrapping up the conversation of, you know, what I had elsewhere, I've been trying to get written a email to Jason saying this is the things that we prefer of, you know, at least signage that says no smoking, no littering, because those are regulated ordinances.
Right.
That
you can't do anything illegal.
Exactly. And then, you know, in all aspects, we would love to say the space is not occupiable between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. type thing.
Yeah, agree.
But that one usually falls under the, you have to be able to send them someplace else. So that one might be a hard fight. I did have a notice that I had extremely taped up and attached to the book drop. Said notice, you know, please don't block the book drop or the entrance to the library. And someone tore off because it was not, it would have been at least weatherable through the weekend because I put it on Saturday
mm-hmm.
night
mm-hmm.
And someone just ripped it off. So anything that we post would have to be either metal signage or I'd have to post it in on the glass on mm-hmm. this side, which I don't feel that they would see, honestly, mm-hmm. unless it's right kind of there mm-hmm. as well as
they're not going to follow it if there's nowhere to go.
Well, but, you know, even the littering and smoking, it's just because when I talked to Chief Odell, he's like, if there's at least something that we can point to as officers of saying it's posted, it's signage, this is, you know, this mm-hmm. is the city or the library's rules, you know, you need to adhere to that. That gives us and them some standing, you know,
leverage.
Thank you. Things like, you know, one of the things was suggested is removing the bench. And I'm like, that just gives them more area. And then putting something pokey or whatnot. So, and I'm like, so then they just lie on the ramp, you know. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I was just talking to Jason before this meeting about that same scenario is doing a drive-up drop box. Because apparently they're looking at it for the utility bills. And so then it would be out there, which is a little bit more on us, you know, especially if it's a rainy day. Trying to go out and get stuff, you know, and if I'm the only one staffing for that day, I'm not getting it. I'm sorry. People are just have to, you know, there's limitations. I can't just leave the library to, you know, pull books throughout the day.
I'm thinking Monroe, I think they have like a wheelie bin, like two of them, like a full one and an empty one.
Yes, but if I'm the only one staffing the library, uh-huh. I can't just leave the library.
Oh, you wouldn't just get it in the morning?
Well, but people put books in throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, just get it once a day.
But the thing is, we have people who use the book drop and then will come in here and check out books. And then the books are, if we don't realize that they have put stuff in the book drop, because we're helping another patron, and they'll be like, well, I just returned that book. And so there's a lot that's going to happen with that. People are going to be like, well, it's in the book drop. And I'll be like, well, okay, but I can't get to the book drop because you're just going to have to deal with it.
People can deal with that.
Yes and no.
Well, they'll learn not to put it in there.
So anyways, that is a possibility. Mm-hmm. But it is well into 24 to $3,500 for those. They're not cheap. It's like a bare box. They're solid. They're meant to stay. And
vacuum dry and
yeah. So he said for something like that, you know, that would be why he's always like, it's like what the library thinks is a lot is not necessarily what we think. And I'm like, well, to me, it's a lot, you know, for what we can, you know, afford. I
see this problem going away soon.
No, it is one of the things, you know, depending on how soon we can, you know, move to that direction. I don't know, because that involves, you know, placement and purchasing and foundation building to, you know, secure it to the ground. So it is something that we can move towards future wise. But it also affects how the, you know, depends where they would put it in the parking. I don't know that they would put it next to the other one because it's not really a drive up because there's parking right next to there. So if they moved it closer to City Hall, that might be another area that they would use. So anyways, so yes, we are continually working on it, still getting complaints, still trying to work through it. It's not fun, but we will do our best. So there.
All right, that's good. All right, so our next meeting is scheduled for December
19th,
6:30.
And I will not be able to attend the meeting on the 19th. I will be in Boston and it will be late there.
Okay. All right.
Jeez, she just wanted to start at 9:30.
All right.
Gosh. So, all right.
So, adjourning the meeting at 7:58.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bye, Wendy.
Bye.